It's Wednesday night. That means it's the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. I'm Ryan. And as always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. You can go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. And that gives us a little kickback to the site, helps us keep things going, including this podcast. And with me, like always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? This is, you forgot to say the episode number, but
227.
Yeah, it's 227.
227.
Episode 227. Yes, I finally got a real haircut from a real barber, so I'm pretty excited about that. I feel human again. Uh-huh. So I'm pretty happy about that. What else? It's very nice. The weather's awesome, so it's hard to stay inside, but we have a lot of work to do, so we're inside.
Yeah, we.
What else?
We were like 90s for like a week and a half straight, and it was just kind of miserable. We hadn't had rain in like 20 some days, and then it rained pretty good. Was it Monday night, maybe? Because it was nice, cooled things off, got everything a little wet. I got a little swimming in this afternoon after work, so I was like relaxed, ready to get into some podcasting and games.
Yeah. Last week I had just come back from Florida, and now yep. Apparently Florida is the new epicenter of coronavirus. So I feel kind of weird, but I don't believe that I have it, so that's a good thing. I don't show any symptoms, which is good. So let's get to tech. And this past week, right, I was a day after the podcast last week, right. We published our review of a new microphone. It's a new microphone from Elgato. It's their first microphone. Mm-hmm. And it's sitting in front of you. We can kind of see it, you know, right? Yeah, we can kind of see it right there. But yeah, it is the Wave 3. There's a Wave 1 and a Wave 3. I assume they'll make a Wave 2, I'm guessing, just because of the naming. But yeah, this is basically made for streamers. I think since you did the review, mm-hmm. you can tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, and I actually was using it last week on the podcast and on the stream. I just had to keep it out of view. Couldn't really mention it. But yeah, so this is, like you said, Elgato's first microphone. They have the Wave 1 and the Wave 3. We had the Wave 3 to take a look at. Elgato's like not new to us at all, obviously, and Corsair owns them now. And they've, you know, got things like the Stream Deck and the Key Lights and additional peripherals for streamers, but they never really had a microphone at all. So they've come out with the Wave 3, and they actually partnered with another company that makes microphones for like studio recording, things like that. Lewitt is the name of that company. So they kind of, you know, I think went about it smartly. They didn't try to design it in-house. Not that they, I don't think, would have any trouble with that, but they relied on another brand and company to bring that expertise in and paired up with them. So it's a USB microphone, has a Type-C connection on the back, as well as a 3.5 millimeter jack, so you can do the live monitoring and headphones. But on the front there, like Bob's showing, it's got a little dial beneath three LEDs. Yeah, right there. So we have three kind of LED indicators towards the top. One of them is your microphone gain. The center one is the volume for the live monitoring. And then you have a PC and stream mix selection as well. And then you have a section of seven LEDs that are kind of your indicators to show what level each of those settings is at. So you can rotate that knob between there when it's on whichever setting you want to adjust up and down. And then to cycle between those settings, you just press the button in and it'll hop through to the next setting there. So all those LEDs glow white. It's kind of a nice color. There's no RGB or anything like that. However, when the microphone is muted, the little ring around the knob glows red to kind of let you know that it's muted. Speaking of mute, this is kind of similar to the HyperX Quadcast that we looked at a while back. There is a capacitive mute button on the top of the microphone. So if I... You're not going to be able to hear me, right? And then you can tap it to unmute as well. So it's super handy. It's not a button you don't hear like clicking or anything. You don't have to shuffle around in software if you don't have a Stream Deck or something similar to mute yourself. It's just super quick tap and untap.
I do like that design because, again, it's not like a physical button. It's a capacitive button because you just hear people like, oh, I got to hit it. Or then I'll mess it up. I'll move it. It's just a simple tap, which makes it so easy, I think, which is really cool.
Awesome. Yeah, and you know, it's kind of small, but like as long as you're hitting the center of it, and on top, it's, you know, super accessible. Comes with a stand there that you know, hinges and has a nice heavy platform. The platform's heavy, made out of metal, and it's got a metal stand there. But the body of the microphone and the you know, that Y-shaped, U-shaped arm that holds the microphone is plastic. So it was a little cheap feeling, to be honest, which I was kind of disappointed. But the build quality and the way it feels is good. It just, I wasn't expecting as much of a plasticky feel to it. So I don't think it affected performance in any way, shape, or form. I was just expecting something a little heftier compared to some of the other microphones we've taken a look at. So as a microphone itself, it works great. Just a standard USB microphone. Where it really gets interesting is with their Wavelink software. So if you're familiar with a Go XLR or just a mixer in general, Elgato has provided the Wavelink application that works with this microphone in order to allow you to virtually mix multiple audio sources. So you've got obviously the Wave 3 there, you can mix your system sounds, you can mix in music from Spotify or another source, you can mix in your Discord chat, your browser, your game audio, and then you have control over each of those audio sources. And you can, you know, adjust their volume independently, or you can match them and lock them together so you're setting the volume together. And it also has two audio outputs. So it has a monitoring output. So if you are streaming, let's say, and you don't want to hear your music that you have playing, but you want that music to go across your stream, you can kind of adjust the volume per output to, you know, configure that however you'd like. So it's really nice and handy for stuff like that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go.
I was saying that a lot of people were saying like this is like the Go X, like a microphone that gives you the capability of a Go XLR, almost sort of.
Yeah, I mean, it really, the other nice thing is this software, since it's made by Elgato, it pairs up very well with the Stream Deck. So while you don't have the physical sliders and buttons that you get with the Go XLR that pair up with their software, if you're already in the Elgato, you know, ecosphere and have a Stream Deck, you can configure buttons there to do the same software functions. So nice. You can have that right at your fingertips, which is pretty nice. Software works pretty well. You know, you've got all sorts of adjustments there. I was really impressed with the sound of the microphone. I think our recordings sounded pretty good. I've been happy with it in Discord. Sounds great on the podcast. And the software is pretty intuitive and easy to work with, right?
Looks like it's pretty easy. And that's the thing is, like, Elgato has software. They know how to make software. This isn't their, like, first try at software, and how it goes into Stream Deck, and they are more or less a streaming company. All their products are made for gamers and streamers, more or less streamers. And yeah, you can make a microphone, and we've seen so many companies make microphones, but this comes with software to make it really a streaming microphone. And I think that's the big sell of this, right? Is that you're getting not only software, but software that easily works with Stream Deck and maybe some other streaming things that you have that can easily be imported into, say, like OBS and things like that. I think that they, like, this seems kind of like a home run for them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, the microphone itself is nice and works great, but when paired up with this application, it's really awesome. Now, the one downside to Wavelink is that it requires the Wave 3 or the Wave 1 to be plugged in and connected to the system, so you can't just use this software with another microphone, right?
That makes sense.
It's like a hardware key almost, you know, a licensing key, which, yes, it does make sense. You can add another microphone as another input and use another microphone and just mute the Wave 3, but you know, it's a good enough microphone that I don't know why you would necessarily do that. So
yeah, so you gave it a,
I gave it a 9 out of 10 and editor's choice, I believe.
Editor's choice, yeah.
The price on that is $159. So you know, you might think that's, and really, like, if you start getting into nicer microphones, $160 really isn't bad, and that's really not bad for a microphone itself, but add in that application, the Wavelink, and it's totally worth the money.
Yeah. I think, like I said, if you're a streamer, this is just, this kind of completes the ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. Because with Stream Deck and some of the, like, you didn't have something that, even with the Go XLR, you needed an XLR microphone, and then that's a whole nother right. choice in itself. This yep. solves both things. It gives you the microphone, so you don't have to worry mm-hmm. about it, and it's USB, so you don't have to worry about it. How do I plug in an audio interface? I don't know about XLR mics. I gotta adjust
what's the power.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's phantom power? I have to adjust the Go XLR settings for my specific microphone. No, like, here's a USB microphone. You just plug it in, and it works. Here's mm-hmm. awesome software that you can do all this cool stuff. So yeah. That's, yep. that's awesome. So yeah, and you're using it now, which definitely means that it's good, because you probably wouldn't still be using it if it wasn't a right. good mic and the software didn't help you out.
I mean, they've got a pretty nice lineup of streaming items. The next thing I'm waiting for from them, honestly, is a webcam of some sort. And yeah. hopefully they're working on that. I don't know. But I think it'd, you know, pair up perfectly if they
are. Yeah. Paul's in the house. One of our other writers. I just want to say what's up to him. He is in the live stream, and we didn't say that everybody who's in the live stream now, we have a full show notes page. So, like, everything that we're going to be talking about is in our show notes. You can follow along with us. It's in the description of the video that you're watching now. And for everybody who's listening later on audio, you can find that in the description of the podcast. So I took a look at two gaming products, two that kind of work together, I would say. First is a gaming keyboard. So this is HyperX Alloy Origins. This is basically what sits as their flagship gaming keyboard. And for a flagship gaming keyboard, it kind of looks basic, but one thing I like about this, and it's something that you don't see a whole lot when it comes to gaming keyboards, is the entire chassis of the keyboard is aluminum, which is something that you don't see. Not just the top plate. We always see a top plate, aluminum top plate.
Metal, like, of some sort.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But with this, the entire casing is metal. And that only not like that makes it secure and it makes it last a long time. But of course it makes it feel good. There's no flex in this keyboard. It just feels good. It feels great to type on. So that's one of the things. I'm sorry if I keep on looking down the stream, just because I have it sitting in front of me here. But this keyboard has a lot of other interesting things with it. First, and one thing that I think that we need to be moving towards, I'm always for this, is that it has, for a full-size keyboard, it has a detachable USB cable. I like this because I hate wrapping my keyboards after I'm done using them, or if I'm going somewhere and if I'm traveling, I have to wrap that cable around. Why can't I just unplug it, right?
Yeah, and then you can get like custom USB-C cables if you want.
Yeah, you can get custom cables, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Also, as far as like the adjustments on the side here, there's pop-out feet. But there's three levels of adjustment rather than two. So most keyboards, you have laying flat and then you pop out the feet and you get, you know, one adjustment or two laying flat and then that. This one, you have three. So you have laying flat, you have the first set of feet that pop out, and then you have a second set of feet. So that just makes it really not customizable, but it's going to fit a lot of people. You're mm-hmm. probably going to find at least one of those settings that's going to work for you, which I think is really great. Another thing is that it's not a big deal. I don't even think I took a picture of it. But this right here is an actual LCD screen that is going to show you numlock, scroll lock, and or caps lock, numlock, and the game mode on the keyboard. And it's going to show, like, for numlock, it's going to put a one up here. For caps lock, it's going to put a capital A up there. For game mode, it's going to show the game mode icon. So it's kind of like a little screen. It's just like a nice little premium thing that I kind of think this keyboard
has. We're so used to having just a light with a little, you know, label underneath it. It's just something a little different.
Yeah, so I like that as well. And then this one that they sent us, they came out with their new Aqua switches. So these are mechanical switches that they're much like a Cherry MX Brown. So they have tactile feedback. They're not a linear switch or a tactile switch, but they have a shorter travel distance and less I can't say the word. I'm not even trying to say it less force to press it, basically. Yeah. So they feel like a faster switch. They almost feel like a Cherry MX Red with a tactile bump, which is really nice. And I actually really like these. And if I didn't have my other keyboard that I absolutely love, this would stay in front of me because I like it. I also like the form factor. If you look at the keyboard itself, there's no real extra space. The only extra space is up here. You know, we see these keyboards with these big chassis and they take up so much space. For a full size, this is pretty compact. And for me, I really like that as well. So this keyboard, I think, has everything that you would want. It does work with their software. A lot of people don't like their software because it's a Windows app. Like, you have to get it from the Windows store. You can't download. The store. Yeah. I have their wireless headphones and I have this keyboard. I've come to use it. It works really well. It's easy enough. You have per key RGB backlighting, which you can see here. It's great. It's easy to do everything in the app. I haven't had an issue with the app like some other people have. Creating macros is easy, all that kind of stuff. It's a really good keyboard. I think for, you know, my favorite keyboard is a very custom high-end keyboard that costs a lot of money. This keyboard is $109, fully mechanical, RGB backlit, full aluminum casing, the detachable USB-C, like I said, great feel. It's $109.
That's a good price.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah. So for $109, it is awesome. And I really couldn't find anything wrong with it.
Is it only available with those Aqua switches, or do they offer any other options? No,
they have their own reds and I believe they have their blues. So you could, it's their own switch now. So HyperX has their own switches. Those are the three. I don't know if it's available in the blue. I know it's available in the red. So they have it in the red and they have it in this Aqua, which is like a Cherry MX Brown, but it has the tactile. Yeah. So for that price, I think it's awesome. And I really didn't find anything wrong with it. I just was trying to find something wrong with it. It does have ABS keycaps, but you're not going to find many keyboards from, you know, HyperX, Razer, Corsair, any of them that have PBD keycaps, especially at this price point. So I think most people are fine with the ABS keycaps for the most part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I took a look at that, and then I took a look at what might be, and I think it is the biggest mouse pad that I've ever used, because the other one that I had was 900 millimeters by 300 millimeters. This one is 900 by 420. It is the XBG Battleground XL Prime. This is an RGB mouse pad. I call it a desk mat, really, because that's what it's designed for. It's huge. But it's not just like a big desk mat, right? They use this really cool fabric it's a fabric mouse pad, but it's called Cordura.
Cordura. Yeah.
Basically, it is water resistant and all of that. And the big thing with this being a desk mat, like right now, I have a monster sitting on it that has condensation, but I don't have to worry about it. Have you ever had like a cloth mouse pad
and it then soaks you get something, and then you get that ring?
That doesn't happen here, and I think that's a good thing. Also, that fabric is decently thick, and this just feels good. Like, to me, using this, it feels really good. They've done it right. Like, again, it's not just like a cloth mouse pad with crappy cloth that they put some RGB around. The actual quality of the fabric that they use and the thickness makes it feel premium, and it's good. So
yeah, I've had some like backpacks, and I think even some snowboarding pants that were made out of Cordura. It's super durable, right? And it's soft enough, right? I think they maybe make multiple levels of it where it's a little rougher or smoother. That's what I was going to ask. Is it pretty smooth? Like, you don't have like a bumpy texture or anything, right?
It is not. It is smooth. It's like, yeah, it's great. Like, I played Apex all day yesterday on it. You know, and previous days, and I think last week I was using it too when we were playing games. But it is, it's not like a, you ever seen like a speed, like a cloth speed mouse pad that's kind of, that's, the cloth is very thin on those. This is a little bit thicker, but I like it. It feels really good for me. Okay. But then of course you have the RGB lighting. So you have the little control box right here at the top. There's no software with this. You just plug it in and basically you get RGB all around. You can change the colors. I think there's 7 different colors. And then there's a mode that breathes between different colors. But you can also do 2 different colors. So there's actually 2 RGB strips in this. You can select between the 2. And here you can see, like, I have green going this way and I have the orange going that way. The thing about this is that it's a diffuser with RGB lighting that kind of goes through it. During the day, you're not really going to see it. Like, here it is on during the day. You can barely see the RGB lighting. It's not that prevalent. But then at night, of course, it's going to light up decently bright. So it is going to look really good on your desk. The RGB thing, again, is kind of gimmicky, but I think it does make your setup look cooler, especially, you know, when it's darker. And it's just a nice little added feature. It kind of sucks that there isn't any software. That was kind of the only downside to this one, was that there's no software, you know. It's just been nice to kind of control it. Maybe I could sync it with some other stuff, you know, anything like that. But the mouse pad, for how big it is, it's only $44.98, which I think is a decent price given the fabric choice, the RGB lighting, and the cable that does come with it. The RGB cable, or the USB cable, is a nicely braided cable too. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. Cool. It's a good mouse pad, and it's probably going to sit on my desk unless I find something else. Paul, what did Paul say? Usually don't leave, is that the exception of the hard ones? It won't lay flat. Yeah, this one, the corners of it are still up a little bit. I think if I put, like, on the side that has my monster, it's down completely. On this side, on the right side here, I think I need just to put something there for a day and it should eventually lay flat.
Yeah, depending on what that, like, lighting material in there is, maybe stiff from sitting rolled up in a, in the retail package for a while.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. So, but we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have a very cool build. Some people might hate this, some people might love it. I think it's really awesome. This one's called Mario. It's from Suchao Modding Design. He does a lot of stuff. We featured a lot of his builds, and it's really interesting is that this is the same case that's sitting beside me right now, Corsair 680X. That he transformed into a Super Mario Brothers themed build with a ton of, I think these are all 3D printed.
Looking and they looked too smooth to be 3D printed unless they've really been sanded down. I'm sure there's something in here that's been 3D printed, but everything else looked too smooth and like molded to.
Yeah.
To be.
But it's pretty much a, what's interesting is, you have an AIO with, you know, all these builds we feature, like all water cooling, but you just have a simple AIO here with a normal graphics card. But the customization, just like making it look like complete, like you can barely see any of the real, I mean, of course you see the Corsair thing, but like, I mean, even on the graphics cards, completely, you know, into this whole theme, you can barely see that it's an Aorus motherboard there, or yeah, it's an Aorus motherboard. Let's see if I get the picture of the full, inside, if we can do it. And oh, he did, let me go back, he did do a keyboard as well, which I think was really cool, and the mouse he did too, so he has like a whole kind of, and a headset setup. Yeah, whole setup.
That's cool. Yeah, all Corsair gear.
Yeah, all Corsair gear, which is really cool. But here's like the full thing, and you can see it's just like, it looks like a Mario level. I mean, it's really cool. I know this isn't like crazy in depth, but I think it's just, it captures like that whole Super Mario Brothers
on the radiator, on the side of the radiator up top. It has like the points and Mario's name and like all that stuff on the side. Just those little details kind of add quite a bit.
Yeah, it is like the little details, and you can see like the little the vine coming up, yep. You know, that you would go to this upper level here where you would have the clouds, like all this stuff is in here. It's just like, again, like you can see like the player one, player two down here. Really, really cool. And then the front, he in the top, you know, it was, that's like the top, like I'm looking at my 680X, you know, this job with all these, you know, the wall kind of thing with Mario coming out of it, I think is really awesome too.
Yep. That's pretty cool.
You can see the mouse that he did there too. So it's just really cool. We've seen Mario mods over the years, but I think this one just really captures like that whole, I don't know what you want to call it, but it just captures everything really well. So definitely check this one out. Really, really cool build there. One of the, like I said, I think it's one of the better kind of themed builds we've seen this year. At least, like I said, it just captures that whole Mario thing. But if you are doing a build and you need some memory, we are giving away an awesome memory kit. So we talked about it last week. We're giving away a Corsair Dominator Platinum RGB memory kit. Still 15 days left. So, guys, this is done through Gleam, like all of our contests. So it's super easy to do. You just get your entries in and you can win this kit. I'm in the process of reviewing this kit as well. You'll get a new kit. You won't get my reviewed kit, but it's some awesome memory. The white memory just looks awesome. So definitely get your entry in. If you guys are wondering, the link for that, of course, is in our show notes. So get over there and enter. And we will move on to news. And the big news this past week is that, or at least supposed specifications, or rumored specifications of the RTX 3090, 3080 Ti, and 3080. And the interesting thing is that this is getting called, we're going to get a 3090 instead of like a 3080 Ti. They're both people who leaked it are calling it a 3090. Not exactly sure why. Because typically the 90 has always been a dual card, right? Like the last dual NVIDIA card?
Didn't we say it was like the 790 or something?
Yeah, or something like that. So the 90 has always been a dual card. And if you look at this setup, it's obviously not. So it should go 3080, typically 3080 Ti, and then the Titan. But that's not the case. In any case, if you look at it, we have all of the different chip names, their CUDA cores, and their memory. So starting up top, we have the Titan, which would have 5,376 CUDA cores, 24 gigabytes of memory at 17 gigabit per second. The 3090 or 3080 Ti would have 5,248 CUDA cores, 12 gigabytes of memory at 21 gigabits. And then finally, we have the 3080, which would be 4,352 CUDA cores, 10 gigabytes of memory at 19 gigabits per second. What do you think? Do you think this is?
I think it's, you know,
I think it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The numbers, like it always cracks me up, the speeds of the memory, how it shuffles around their capacity versus the speed. But no, it's interesting. I'll be interested to see if there really is a TI in between the 80 and the 90, or if there's, you know, are they going to stick with super also, right? Are we going to have super cards, or was super just a thing, you know, to buy some time or to put in between these series? I don't know.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that the second poster, I'm not going to try to say his name, Kimmy. He did predict the A10 Tensor Core GPU specifications months ahead. So he is a reliable leaker of this information. I think we're seeing leaks and stuff. I mean, we could be closer than we think, right?
Yeah. We were thinking before holiday season. So we're just, again, getting more and more information, and it's going to come out, start coming out more and more often leading up to that. So
based on last week, they said that there's not even like cards shouldn't even like based on the timeline that we saw last week.
Yeah, we're looking at that roadmap.
There shouldn't even be tests or cards out right now, but there was a leak. That's an Ampere Power GeForce card was benchmarked, and it came into the 3D Mark benchmark database as just NVIDIA GeForce Ampere GPU, and it scored 30% faster than an RTX 2080 Ti, which is pretty impressive. And the only thing that we don't know is like, which one is this? Is this the Titan? Is this the 2090 or 2080 mm-hmm. or 3080 Ti, or is this the 3080? Like, we don't know.
Yeah, without knowing, like the previous post didn't have anything about clock speeds or memory speeds, right? So we can't like pair them up and figure out which one we think it is. Yeah. But here we have, you know, some memory speeds and core speeds.
Well, the memory speed is off because it says 6,000 megahertz.
Well, that's your memory speed, not your throughput.
No, what I mean is that it didn't read the memory correctly.
Oh, God. Yeah. 6,000.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because, again, these cards aren't even supposed to be out. Even like prototype cards shouldn't be out. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't be mass produced. But again, we saw the leaked picture of like these cards that were kind of sitting there. So we could be even closer than what we think, maybe. But 30% faster is definitely something to get excited about. But if that's the Titan, then I'm not excited. If that's the TR, I guess if it's a TR card, I'm excited because 30% faster gen over gen is good. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's just the 3080 non-TI, I'm really excited because then, you know, like the TI is going to be even faster. But yeah, it's stuff to get excited about. Hopefully we see it sooner than later. Especially again, it's going to be interesting to see what the big selling point is. Cause again, last gen, it was RTX this year.
What are you doing now?
Yeah. Cause you kind of sold that to us. Now what else are you going to give us after that?
And it hasn't. Yeah. They sold it to us. And like, I don't think the results have like fleshed out, right? Like how many games are running RTX and how many people are running titles with RTX enabled.
Yeah. That would be very interesting to see actually. If there was any data on how many people are running games that support RTX and how many people are actually running them with RTX enabled.
Probably I wonder if Steam can pull any of that data at all.
I don't believe they could, but who knows? They might be able to. They should. They should put it
in.
If they can, they should. But talking about NVIDIA and their history, probably their most iconic graphics card is the GeForce 256, which really introduced most people to 3D gaming on PC. And somebody made a Lego version of it, which I think is really cool. This is the same person that did the 3D FX Voodoo one. I'm not going to. Ball
I like
Spawn.
This one much better.
Yeah.
This is
Ball,
cool.
Ball Spawn on Twitter. She did the 3D FX one. I'm more of a fanboy of the 3D FX one.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, just because like it's 3D FX. But she hasn't submitted this one to the Lego Ideas website yet. The 3D FX one, I think, has like 2,000. It needs 10,000, I think, to be considered for like a real Lego product. But if she does submit it, we'll let you guys know and give you the link where you can. The thing about that is, like, you can't just vote. Like, you need to sign up for, like, a profile. It's just, like, this whole big thing. Like,
way too much work.
Yeah, it's way too much work. But it's really cool to see. I mean, you can see the side-by-side here of the cards. Very true to form on there, pretty much, which I think is really cool. And, yeah, if they make these, I would definitely buy a couple. Just put them, you know, put them somewhere in the office. That'd be cool. So, yeah, that's And moving on to Intel and their Xe graphics, a very interesting thing happened this past week. Ryan Schrout, who is the chief performance strategist at Intel now, we all know him from a PC perspective. So he put out a video on Twitter of him running a Tiger Lake powered, I think it's a Dell laptop, with Gen 12 Xe iGPU running Battlefield 5 and running it without any other discrete graphics, just the laptop iGPU running. And we'll play the video here. And it's kind of hard to see, but it's running at over 30 frames a second, which for an iGPU is very impressive. And this is 1080p at high settings.
It was pretty high settings. Yeah, I watched that. And, you know, he mentions, running at a playable, above 30. And when you hear 30 frames per second as a playable frame rate or for FPS, you're kind of like, what? No, that doesn't seem right. But when you consider that it's playing on the integrated graphics, okay, I'm a little more impressed now.
Yeah, it is very impressive. And you have to think too, is that this is, you don't need these discrete GPU solutions to maybe play esports titles. And a lot of people who want to play esports, they're laptop gamers, a lot of them. And I think that if you can package something that can play 1080p esports games at a respectable frame rate, and again, an esports title is going to use far less than the Battlefield 5, I think. Yeah. And again, you can turn graphic settings down. If you can have that, one, it's going to bring the cost of these down because you don't need a dedicated solution. Two, it's going to bring battery life up because you don't have that dedicated solution either. So I think when this stuff does come out, it is going to be, I think for the esports gamer, it's going to be a big thing. For people like us, not so much, because again, you're not going to get AAA titles at 1440p playing.
Yeah, I mean, it is impressive showing this. I almost wish you would have showed something like a lower end, an esports title to show like, hey, but in this with integrated graphics, we can hit, 90 FPS or that would have been pretty impressive too.
I think drivers and things like that, and
sure,
how optimized Battlefield 5 is, like that's probably one of their partners they're working with right now. How optimized the driver is for that title. You know what I mean? But it's, he said, in his tweet, he said more later this year, which I think a lot, again, this is, it's just a progression, but I think it's good. And it shows that Intel is on some type of path with their integrated graphics, which is kind of cool. So definitely cool to see that. I got a little excited because again, if I can play an esports title while I'm traveling, I think that's pretty on a laptop, on a thin and light, right? I think that's pretty awesome. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. And then a big blow to Intel. Apple at their WWDC event announced that they are ditching Intel for their silicon and making their own, which makes sense for Apple. I think, one, they're big enough to do it money-wise, and two, that the technology of their processor that's using ARM cores is, again, it's powerful enough for a MacBook and a MacBook Pro. And it allows them to really fine tune everything. I think that's the biggest thing with Mac in general too. If you ever use the Mac, it's like, it's underpowered, but it seems to perform better than a Windows
laptop. It's just smoother, optimized, right? For the hardware that they're running on. They have such a small hardware, a set of hardware, right, that they have to code for, and they keep that pretty tight, and so they can make all the adjustments to the OS and software they want to help it run as smoothly as possible, or cripple it to force you into early upgrades, whichever way you want to look
at. Yeah, I mean, I think this is very interesting. Apple makes up 4% of Intel's overall sales, which, if you think of 4%, doesn't seem like a lot, but if you look at the money that's there, that is a lot.
4% is a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot. So that's definitely a big hit to them. It's just so, it's really interesting, as I don't think I would want a laptop that's running the same processor as in my phone. That's just weird. And there was I didn't watch the event because I'm not really a Mac person. Although they did have some cool Apple Watch updates, which I'm pretty excited for. But they were talking about, I saw Barnacle, or what's the guy's name? Barnacle?
Yeah, Barnacle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was complaining on Twitter about they're gonna make like apps are gonna be like at like apps on the laptop are now gonna be like the same as the apps on your phone. Which makes you think that
I feel they're like they're, they'd be dumbed down, right?
They'd be dumbed down and underpowered.
Yeah.
So that's kind of thing. This is interesting. I think the biggest story out of this is that Intel has lost a major client or a major.
And how long were they even on Intel? I mean, 10, 15 years, maybe?
A decent amount.
Maybe not 15, but.
Not 15.
Because I remember. Not 15, probably around 10. Because I just remember, you know, hearing that, you know, that they were going to start having Intel chips inside, and now we're switching back around.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes for Apple. I think maybe certain power users would be pretty upset about this. Mm-hmm. Also, users who use what's the program to switch between Windows and Mac on?
Bootcamp.
Yeah, who use Bootcamp? Like, is their chip going to be compatible with Windows? Like,
ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, so it is really interesting. But again, the biggest thing is that it's a big customer that's gone away from Intel. That's a big hit. As much as you want to say it's 4%, I mean, that's a big hit to them. So we'll kind of see. Power. You on it over there?
Yeah.
Tired.
So, no, that was Elon.
You got to get your energy drinks over there.
I got my G Fuel. Okay, G Fuel. I should start drinking it.
Well, talking about Intel, an interesting slide was revealed and found by somebody on Twitter. And if you look at this slide that they presented, like Intel Connect or Intel Partner Connect program is basically Intel going out to, Shinny says power user. where Intel goes out to say like Dell or Samsung mm-hmm. or whoever. And it's like, okay, here is our processor and here's what it can do. Use it in your laptop or use it, you know, in this case, laptop. So they show what they say are two similar systems. An MSI GL65 in an Asus Zephyrus?
Zephyrus Max Q or Zephyrus, yeah.
Yeah, so that is the Zephyrus G14. And if you look at it, they're comparing a Ryzen 9 4900HS.
From up on screen.
Oh, yeah, I might not want to do that.
There you go.
Here's a slide that I've been talking about that you guys haven't been able to see on the screen. So they're comparing a Ryzen 9 4900HS to a Core i7 10750H. And if you look at that, it's comparable, right? Mm-hmm. And they're showing that this configuration is, you know, 20% better in gaming. So you're like, oh yeah, they're both running, you know, they're like, you know, this is an 8-core, this is a 6-core, and the 6-core is doing better, 2060. But if you look at it, the Ryzen system has an RTX 2060 Max Q, whereas the Intel system has an RTX 2060, the mobile version. The Max-Q version is made for thin and lights. It's made to use less power. It has less power restrictions on it, or it has more power restrictions on it, meaning that it doesn't actually boost as high as this. So this, even though they're supposed to say 2060, the Max-Q is a completely different SKU, and more or less it's a completely different graphics card. Right. It's like comparing I wouldn't say as much compared to 2060 to 2070, but it's like that. It's very different. It's basically comparing like a supercar to a non-supercar, possibly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like lying to these people that they're presenting this to. And again, go ahead.
No, it's just funny that, you know, just recently they were saying, hey, don't worry about benchmarks and, you know, graphs and stuff. Yet when they make one that's favorable to them, even though it's misleading, they're like, hey, but check this graph out. We're beating them by 20%+ across all these titles.
Yeah. And the thing that's interesting too is that the Intel laptop that they're testing is 27 millimeters thick and is 15.6 inches, mm-hmm. whereas the AMD laptop is only 22 millimeters thick and is 14 inches. So complete different segments, I would say, too, because like the AMD one is like more of a less a thin and light, whereas the Intel one's more of like a mainstream, you know, laptop. Well,
yeah, you have the option to put, you know, thicker heat pipes, more fins on the heat sink, a little bigger fan. Options that you get with that little size difference can make quite a bit of difference.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's just not a fair comparison. It's just really not. Mm-hmm. Now, if that Intel system had the Max-Q in it, then we could talk, sure. right? But it doesn't, and it's just, it's very misleading, and it's just like, I mean, I titled the thing Intel Marketing Back at It because we've seen this from Intel with their supposed benchmarks and things like that. And it's just, it's kind of sad to see at this point. I know it's not, that wasn't directly to consumers. That's to people that they want to build their systems, but it's still pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Well, and you think that the people that they're showing that to are going to take into account those differences, right? You're not fooling the people that are in these meetings that you're trying to pitch this stuff to.
I would hope not. But yeah, that's really interesting. But a really cool thing that we saw, this new Moab 2 case from Zadak. Is that how you say it?
Zadak? I don't know.
Zadak?
I follow them on social, you know, like on Instagram, and they've been showing this type of stuff for a while. And I was like, okay, so is this a custom build? Is this a case? Like, I couldn't find anything about this cooler that they were using. So it's nice to see the story and PC to go with it.
Well, I first saw this case because our man that we always feature, Mods by Ben Q, had a build with this, with all of his crazy mm-hmm. tubing, you know, he does. And I'm like, what is this case? So they have this case which looks awesome. I mean, if you look at it, it's kind of like a showpiece case. It's really cool. I know hardcore water cooling people won't like this because you don't water cool the GPU that sits here. But it shows like your temperature readout. It comes with a block. So basically this case has water channels built into it. It's kind of hard to see. You can see them in here, where the water channels go, and this is where you connect them. But what's really cool about this case, and I think this is great for maybe like a first time builder, is that they provide you all the tubing. This is hard tubing. They provide you everything that you need to build what is essentially looks like this. Which you can buy it with the motherboard and the CPU, like you have to do all that stuff. But right. for people who are kind of like me, who's like intimidated by water cooling, I would say, right? I think that this is a great solution. And again, you're not water cooling the graphics card. I know some hardcore water coolers might be against that, but I think like I could do this. Like I could take these pieces and put them in the puzzle and, you know,
I can do it.
Yeah, I can do it. Like I would love to have this. And I mean, don't lie. Like you would like this sitting at your desk, right?
Yeah, no, it's cool.
I think it's really cool. I think that it's just another way to get, and again, hardcore water coolers will be against it, but I think it's a great way to get people into water cooling, because then if I build this, the next build I'm going to do more custom, right? Because I know that I can do this, which I think is really cool. So yeah, it comes with everything, all the stuff that you need. It comes with a block. It comes with all the tubing, which again, you know, like I don't know what I need to get when I'm doing this. I have no clue. I don't know if it comes with a coolant though. I think you might have to buy that. But yeah, I think it's awesome. Here's like the spec list of like the motherboards that will fit.
Yeah, micro ATX boards.
Yeah, micro ATX boards. But again, I'm all for this, honestly. I'm surprised like this isn't a Corsair or like something, you know, somebody else who would do something like this. Very, very cool in my opinion. I think it's
would have thought a InWin EK mashup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So very cool. The case is awesome, but the fact that they're giving you everything, they're giving you the exact size tubing that you need.
Does it show where where's the radiator at?
I don't know.
Is it on the backside? Because I didn't see.
I assume it's like back here. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a shot of the other side of this case. I don't know. I assume it's over here somewhere. Maybe this is it.
Maybe that's where the power supply. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But in any case, it's cool. I think that, you know, Paul said water cooling. It is that hard. I can do it. I'm intimidated. I told Paul that I was pretty intimidated by water cooling, but I would do this. I would be 100% confident to do this because I have all the pieces. I'm not missing any pieces. Like, you ever see those memes about like the IO shield? What is this? Like, that would be me. And then I would turn
just
it on. And
away.
Water would go everywhere. You know. So I feel like this. I have all my pieces. I know that they're all there. Like, yeah, I'm good to go.
Yep.
Yeah. And Shinny said he wants to do water cooling at some point. I know I do too. And like, people like, you run a tech site, like you should know how to do that.
You should know how to custom.
I should.
All-in-ones, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm rocking my all in one here. But yeah, I mean, I would love to do water cooling. It comes down to learning in time and all of that. It will eventually happen. I promise you guys. So, moving on to gaming news, and a big story this week is that if you didn't know, Microsoft had their own streaming platform called Mixer. I believe our man Shinny didn't. Shinny wasn't Shinny.
He was on Mixer for a while. Well, yeah, Mixer for a little bit. He switched over to Twitch a couple weeks ago, and I think that was the right move. Yeah. Probably.
So Microsoft is killing off Mixer, and I shared a graph or stats that both or Facebook Gaming, YouTube, and Twitch all grew over. Like 100% growth in the past year as far as their platform. Mm-hmm. And it showed that the industry as a whole was growing exponentially. And so were all these streaming platforms, except for Mixer. I think Mixer gained 2% from year to year, which is pretty crazy because if you guys remember, I don't know if it was 2 years ago, that they lured
Ninja.
Yeah.
Shroud.
Yeah, they lured them off of Twitch, right?
Yeah.
And I believe they paid... How much did they pay, Ninja? Was it $1 million?
I saw some numbers today that Ninja's... from this, essentially, because now Ninja's free agent. He's no longer required to stick with Mixer and move over to Facebook. I saw his number was like $30 million, and Shroud's was $10 million.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so it's just crazy to think that why was this platform unsuccessful? You have the money.
Right? It's built into like Xbox One, right? If I fire up my Xbox and I'm like not going to play a game and I flip across or like Mixer's right there, right? And you just move over a couple slides, hit the button and you're watching somebody stream. So like it's built into that. And how many million Xbox Ones are out there? I don't know why it didn't take off. I considered streaming on it before we started our stream.
The platform itself looked nice. Like, I've watched a decent amount of things on Mixer as far as gaming. During like the crazy lockdown, I watched a concert on there, which was really cool. It always ran good. Like there mm-hmm. was tons of interaction in the channels that I was in. There was a lot of interaction there. Obviously they had some of the best, like the biggest streamers on it. So like, why did it not grow? That it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I mean, I can't do it. Shinny says that, you know, other than getting the big names, they did zero promotion or advertising. Maybe they thought that just having it built into Xbox and Windows was, you know, enough to do it. I don't know.
Yeah. So they didn't necessarily team up with Facebook Gaming. They made it so Mixer users can easily switch over to Facebook Gaming. Facebook Gaming didn't buy them that I know of. I don't think there's any financial agreement between the two. Only thing that I can think of is that now on your Xbox One, maybe you can just load Facebook Gaming instead of Mixer. I don't know. But in their blog post, they put out how to do it, how to do all that kind of stuff to make the transition over to Facebook Gaming. I like Facebook Gaming. I watch some streamers on there. It's not bad. It is on Facebook, however, which I'm not like a huge fan of. When I like Twitch. I like being on Twitch. I'm not so much into Facebook as far as that goes. But yeah, so the service will continue to run through July 22nd, and then after that, it will be gone. So yeah, it's gone. I mean, it's just crazy to me, honestly. Just like the money, the integration with, I mean, there's only two major consoles, really. So that integration and everything like that. Yeah, I don't know. Paul said that Mixer had a huge presence at PAX East this year. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, it just doesn't make sense. And then Shinny said, supposedly, Xbox's new xCloud thing will eventually work with Facebook Gaming, some sort of cloud gaming service. I've heard about that. I don't know a whole much, a lot about that either. That's kind of sad. I actually thought it was a good platform from when I used it. I thought it was a good platform. So it's kind of sad to see it go. Talking about PC gaming, one of the biggest games coming out this year has been delayed once again, but it's only for a month, so it's not that bad. Cyberpunk 2077 was originally set for April, then it was moved back to September, and now it's moved back to November. So it's now set to release on November 19th. CD Projekt Red, the studio behind it, they put out a statement on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. A month delay is not bad, right? I'm not that upset about it.
Yeah. I need to like watch some trailers for it again or something, because I was excited when it first got announced and then I just haven't paid attention. So I really don't care if it's going to, you know, and I'm not that interested right now. And if I would have kept up with the game news, I'd probably be more upset, you know, or if I had pre-ordered it or something like that. But
yeah,
no, I'm excited to see it either way, but it sucks that it's delayed.
Yeah, it sucks that it's delayed, I think. But again, you have like November 19th, which is closer to holiday, which means it's, you know, but I would rather see a game come out and be like done and good. You know, not too upset, but still just waiting a little bit. And then we have a new Star Wars game for all you Star Wars fans, and this looks decently good. I can't say I'll get it. EA and Motive and Lucasfilm announced Star Wars Squadrons, where you play as a five person. You can play it single player. There's a whole story mode where you play both as the Imperial and the Galactic
Empire and the Rebellion.
Yeah, then the New Republic. Or wait, yeah, Galactic. I don't know. That's how much Star Wars.
The Galactic Empire and the New Republic.
Yeah. So you play as a pilot. This is completely pilot game. There's no lightsabers or anything like that we know of. You're playing as you're in a squad, and it's all these crazy TIE fighter battles and things like that. I think I can bring this up on the screen. I mean, it looks decently good. And they announced that it will support like all the joysticks that are out there for all the other
VR as well.
Yeah, and VR. I think you can play the entire game in VR, which is pretty cool. So yeah, it looks good. I'm a fan of the story. For all Star Wars titles, they should always have a story mode, because that's what Star Wars is about. So there is a whole story mode. There is online play, 5v5, and there's a bunch of different modes for 5v5 too. Not just like a straight dogfight and things like that. So it looked good. I don't know when they October 2nd, which is decently.
It's pretty soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks cool if you're into like, one, if you're into Star Wars, and two, if you're into, you know, like fight, like a
fight. Yeah. I bought the Ace Combat 7, I think is what it was. Okay. I played it and I really enjoyed it. I just haven't like gone back to playing it, but I enjoy like a good like semi arcadey flight game, right? I don't want to play flight simulator, right? I don't need to be putting my flaps down and my gear up, or, you know, barrel roll, aileron roll, whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
I just want to go and shoot stuff. So,
yeah. But no, like I said, it looked good. I think that maybe it, like, again, we've had these battle, what is it, Battlefronts, and what was the other one? The other stuff. I didn't play any of the Star Wars. The latest one was really good. Yeah, I forget what it was called.
New something Jedi, wasn't it?
Yeah, the
Rise Order.
Jedi Order. I've played that. It's a great single player game. But yeah, changing it up, I think it's cool. It's coming like right around holiday season, so I'll be pretty excited for that. And that is our news for the week. Some really interesting stories. It's good to see, like, we haven't talked about a case on here, I feel, since like the mini ITX one. So it's good to see a new case on news this week. But talking about what's coming up next week, I will be doing my full review on the ROG Strix B550F Gaming Wi-Fi. B550, biggest things to know. It gives you Gen 4 on your top PCI Express slot as well as your top M.2 slot. So you're getting all the benefits of Ryzen 3000 series without paying the price for X570 on these top two slots. Most people will probably only
use those two anyways.
Yeah, most people, especially in the graphics, will only use those two. And secondly, I don't know how many people are buying two Gen 4 drives for M.2, especially when you can get them in 1 and 2 terabyte sizes. So, you know, this is a great board, great gaming board. I will have that one for you. And then I'm actually using it now. That's why I have the green headphones on tonight. The Sound Blaster X3, which I'm very impressed with. It's a 7.1 external USB DAC and amp, as well as sound card. And it features their Super X5 technology, which we both had the chance to test at CES this past year. And they basically mapped our heads there. And you're able to, because they did it there, you can download that profile to this and make it sound like you're in like a almost like a movie theater, almost kind of.
But it sounded like with normal headphones, right? It sounds like the sound is almost being pushed inside your head, right? But with the Super X-Fi and some of the stuff they can do, it feels like it's popped out, and like so much so that I was taking my headphones off to see if they were playing a sound in the room as opposed to in headphones, is how impressive it was. So very cool.
Yeah, so this I'm really impressed with. That's why I played Apex yesterday, just to test this out. They actually have a profile for Apex for these. I'm using this Razer headset, which is just a stereo headset into it. Because this is a DAC and amp, it can support like real headphones. Really nice headphones as well. Has a lot of cool stuff. I haven't even got into all of it, so definitely stay tuned for that next week as well. And we might have some other stuff if it arrives tomorrow. Hopefully it does. And if it does, we'll have that for you as well. But yeah, that's bringing it to the end here. We talk about if we did anything tech-related. Did you do anything tech-related this past week?
I'd like to get a like garage sale going. So this weekend a little bit, like I was cleaning out the storage room to the side, and I've got like so much old stuff. Like, and so I was loading up like Linux Mint onto these old Core 2 Duo systems with 4 gigs of DDR2 and an 80 gig hard drive. Yeah. Like, I don't know, you know, I use them as routers or firewalls and stuff. And I just need to get rid of them. I should really just throw them away, but I'm putting like $2 on them or something. Just get it out of here and give me a couple bucks is really what it came down to. But that's about it hardware wise. I messed around with a new piece of software. I don't know if I mentioned it last week. I don't think that I did, but I was looking for a new or like a video editing software. Something
you did say you did. I think
did
you
I did. No, because maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Either way, Hit Film Express 14 is free or donation to kind of unlock some stuff.
Does that mean specifically for gaming?
No. Oh, okay. Do whatever you want. But so I spent some time and made a like 5-6 minute highlight video from Apex. It turned out all right. I mean, for my first video, I thought it was okay. So I'll be playing with that quite a bit more. And then Wyze, they make a bunch of cameras. I have one up here. I have a couple of them. I have them sitting outside. I have three of them actually that sit outside. Wyze cameras. They're like $20 USB powered cameras that go with an app. So I've had one sitting on my front porch with a little 3D printed like house over it. They're not meant to be outside. It's been outside for 3 years, probably snow, rain, 100 degrees, still running just fine. I've got one in the garage and I've got one on my back porch. Well, they actually came out with an outdoor one and announced that. So $30 at no, a little more than that. It was 49. Yeah, $50 for the single camera and a kind of base station. Yeah. And then additional cameras are $40 and they're made to be outside. No wires. It's got dual batteries into it that are supposed to last 3 to 6 months. Yeah, this is awesome. I can't wait to get some of these.
Yeah. And what's really interesting, I don't know if you watched like the video at the bottom of this
page. I haven't watched any videos yet.
Oh, so they've done some really cool things. So, you know, typically your video is stored in the cloud. So on a security camera, if somebody breaks the security camera or takes it, mm-hmm. your footage is in the cloud per se. They don't have this with this. With what they do is they give you this base station that you have to buy with the starter bundle, which includes, it's included with the $50, but that sits inside your house and that you put an SD card in.
See, I hadn't even looked into that close, which I love that. That's
yeah. Awesome. So if somebody rips this off your door or off the outside of your house, you're going to still have the footage inside your home, which I think is really cool. Mm-hmm. All the ways they like sealed this and did all this stuff and how they redid the technology so the battery would last longer.
Yeah, I need to look into them more. I was just like, I'm already on hyped and going to buy them anyways. So I'm not too, because all of them that I have are doing constant recording to an SD card. Plus I'm doing some real-time streaming to my NAS to record that as well. So.
Yeah, so Oldman said, I want a security camera, but most of them require subscription service through an app. That's why I love Wyze. I had my Wyze cams outside as well. Mm-hmm. You just put an SD card in them, and you can record to the SD constantly, which is great.
So you can be doing that constant recording, plus enable it to record like the motion stuff and send that up to the cloud. So you can do both at the same time, which is
awesome. This looks awesome. I should have ordered it the other day. I need to order it. The really cool thing, especially if like for somebody like me, I love traveling, is that you can use this. You can take it with you, say like in the middle of nowhere, like I'm going this weekend, Kayla and I are going to a cabin. You can use this there where there's no Wi-Fi. You just turn it on, you connect it to your phone, and you can record a time lapse. You can do all kinds of stuff without a Wi-Fi connection. That's cool. On this, which is really cool too. So I'm really excited. I need to hit back this and get it because it's only $50 and it's just to play with. I think it's yep. worth that. So
yeah. And then they have their band, the Wyze band, and it's $25. And yeah. I think it blows some of the other smart watch monitoring items.
So
I
funny
assume because I need to order one of those too.
So funny thing, I saw this. I don't know how I saw this like a month ago or 2 months or maybe a month ago when I was looking because I ended up getting this, which is the Apple Watch. I saw this and I'm like, yes, I want it. It was on Amazon and then it was back ordered and it was back ordered and it's back ordered. I was like, I don't want to wait. So I spent $200 on this. But I think for what it gives you as far as like the activity tracking and things,
it's got
like
Alexa really built into it.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's really nice about it. It has Alexa built in.
Sorry, we just kicked off everybody's smart devices.
Yeah. but yeah, it's for $25. Yeah, the reason I wanted to get it, because I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to like a wearable. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. I don't want to spend $200.
Right, start with a $25 one.
Yeah, and see if I like it. See if, it helps me. Like, this actually helps me. Tells me when to stand. Like when I should be doing things like that. So I was like, I'll get this, but then I just didn't want to wait because I'm impatient. And now it's actually available where you can get it now. But yeah, $25 for an activity tracker that does pretty much, it does a lot, especially with Alexa built in. Sorry, I made everybody's thing go off again. But yeah, so check out that. Wyze is a really cool company. I'm sure a lot of you guys have the Wyze.
I mean, cams. They did, they had a security breach credentials issue earlier in the year, I think, or towards the end of last year. Hopefully they've resolved some of those, fixed those items. I've been happy with the app. I've been a Wise user, you know, for multiple years. I have their, some of their smart switches. I have some of their light bulbs. They're just super affordable, tons of value.
Their products are really great for the price. You can find better products, but they're going to be more expensive, a lot more expensive.
So you can get them a little cheaper if you buy them directly from them. But I know I've found them in, and I haven't looked recently, but Home Depot had them for a while. And so like they just had stacks of Wise gear. It was a couple dollars more for each product. But if you need it like that day, they were there. So
yeah, that's awesome. Anyhow,
what about you? Did you do anything tech?
I got a new monitor arm. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little bit higher.
It seems higher, yeah.
Yeah, so one, I dropped my monitor.
I was going to say, how's your other monitor doing? Or no, is it that one?
That's this one. It works. I dropped it. I thought, but I know I dropped it, and it's good. It's no worse for wear. But I got a taller monitor arm. The only thing I don't like about it is I can see the arm. I can see like the pull because it's a bigger pull. It kind of messes up the whole look of the setup. But besides that, it's great because I'm up higher. I'm like where I need to be, I feel, on the screen, which is great. So that was fun. I put that together. You can see over there, you can see the two feet or whatever legs for tables. I got new tables from IKEA. I got another desk set up back there with my test system set up. So like this setup here is finally coming together, which is nice. So like I got the B550 system all set up. I got I took my monitor arm from here and put it over there, and I got the ugly ones out of there that just didn't really work well. So I have that all set up. So everything is going good. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I did. I don't think I did anything else or watched anything else. I don't believe.
Cool.
I'm trying to think if I watched anything, but I don't believe I watched anything either. I've been watching a lot of this show called Alone or Alive. I think it's Alone. Where they just like leave people in the middle of Alaska. It's pretty crazy. But that has nothing to do with tech. So yeah, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here. We will be on Twitch right after this. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers. We'll be playing Apex. It is sniper and shoddy mode. And I believe Shinny will be playing with us as well. So that should be fun. So definitely jump on. And Ryan will be using his new microphone. I will be using the keyboard that I reviewed and, of course, the mouse pad. So we'll see
what
you guys.
What mouse are you using right now? Are you still using the Model D?
I broke my Model D.
Right.
Because I slammed it off of my desk. And then I had bought it, and it's sitting over there because I haven't used it. So I'm using the Model O, still using it, still like it. I want to switch up the Model D, but I'll do it whenever. I love this mouse pad now, but I want a true white mouse pad, but you can't find true white anywhere.
That doesn't surprise me because like it's just gonna get dirty.
Well, that, and I ordered a white one off of Amazon, and it's gray. It's not white. It's gray. So yeah, I want a custom mouse pad, but every time I go to like Dixie Mech or whatever, they're out of them. I got in on the group buy on the new one, but it doesn't come for like 3 months. So I'm looking for a new mouse pad. But anyways, we'll go ahead and end things here. And we will see you guys over on Twitch. Remember, guys, favorite podcasting app, software, website. It's just Think Computers, all one word. Definitely appreciate it if you guys subscribe. But for everybody in the live stream, thanks for, you know, hanging out with us. And we will catch you over on Twitch.